Anyways, that's that. So, okay. Hello everyone. Welcome to Cyber Weekly. Cyber is a podcast which talks about cybersecurity with me, the gracious Othello, and Josephine Olok, my co-host. Today we also have another co-host, Angela. Today is a security review day, so we'll be having different topics which we'll talk about concerning the different security situations which have been happening throughout the course of last month and some from this month. So, Angela, first of all, Josephine, how are you doing? Before we continue.
I'm fine, though. Hope you're well, and welcome, Angela, to the show, to the podcast.
Thank you, Josephine. Hi, hi, Dio. How are you?
Hi, Angela. So, Angela, could tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. Hello, everyone. I'm Angela Nabanja, a seasoned civil servant and IT information officer. I'm passionate about all matters IT, and I'm happy to be here. Bachelor of Science in Computer Science holder. I have a postgraduate degree in monitoring and evaluation, and I'm almost completing my master's in information technology, majoring in Internet of Things and edge computing.
Wow.
That's me.
I'm already threatened by your CV, but it's okay.
No, Jill.
Yeah. It's a pleasure to have Angela. Angela got in touch with me, and we kind of have a mentor-mentee relationship. So I'm very proud to have Angela on the show.
Thank you for bringing me on board, Josephine.
You're welcome.
Okay. So we'll dive into the questions. Angela will be the first to ask me questions, then we shall proceed. Actually, she's asking both of us. So, yes, Angela, please take on the mantle of leadership.
Thank you, Dale. Dale, according to April's Patch Tuesday, what attack was most found in the wild?
Okay, so first and foremost, thank you for that question. So for Patch Tuesday, the some which caught my eye, and our listeners can check out the link. But one of them was the RCE, which, according to the article, it attributed to 44% of the attacks. Remote code execution is when someone can remotely access your machine and then perform commands on that machine, then followed by elevation of privilege, meaning someone tries to become the get the administrative privileges of the system. So when they get that, then I guess all hell breaks loose, as they say. Then there's one which stood out for me also, which is the spoofing one. I didn't think it was too common, but yeah, still the percentage is low, 2%. For spoofing, yeah. But other than that, information disclosure, that's also another one which stood out, meaning someone or one another person's information is unforeseeable circumstance happens and your information is released to the public, or you access the site and your information is released somehow, or has been hacked by someone else. Yes, that's just another one which stood out. Yeah, other than that, the rest seem okay. Can't say okay for someone hacking, but but yeah, that's it.
Okay, thank you, Dale. And which product family received the highest number of attacks?
Yeah. So now when it comes to the product family, we are looking at basically the platforms which received most attacks, or this type of system which received the most types of attacks. And I always say the best thieves always look for where there are many people to attack, so, or people to steal from. So it's not new that Microsoft or Windows received most of the attacks, because the highest percentage of people are using Windows platform, and Windows platform definitely received most of the attacks. Another one which was there was SQL Server, which anyone who was done programming before, who works with systems, you know that SQL is one of the databases used for systems, for any database of any application. So that was another one. Yeah. Other than that, I think the rest is, I don't want to again say okay, but yeah, the rest, yeah, so, yeah, I don't know, which,
it's moving on well.
Not moving on well. But yes, so that's it.
And most of the SQL attacks have been script injections, and which kind of cyber attacks in the SQL server?
So now for that, there are most the SQL injection. There are also, mostly SQL injection, but there are different types of SQL injections which can be used for an attack. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, most of the times there are always issues of organizations taking long to update their databases or SQL server. So, meaning, if you've not set up your firewall very well, there'll always be that vulnerability left, and definitely it's harder. It makes it easier for them to actually access your database, and the fact that it you've seen SQL Server amongst the information which is, I mean, the platforms which has been most attacked, it doesn't go far from what we've seen among the types of, basing on the risk analysis and the types of attacks which actually happen. If you notice, there's also information disclosure which also stood up. So, information disclosure and SQL injection and all that all fall in the same line, because the information they get is usually from the SQL database.
Yes. But all in all, cyber resilience is more important than actually cyber security, because you keep on, it's a matter of defending than panicking.
Yeah.
In any organization, that's true. Which CVEs stood out, and what were the CVE scores for you, Dale?
So, the vulnerabilities that stood out for me, they're all rotating around IoT. Microsoft Defender for IoT, but. And again, at the same time, like, I was also wondering, first of all, for our audience, IoT is Internet of Things, so things which are connected to the internet, like your microwave, like your fridge.
Watch. People watch use so many Apple watches.
Exactly. So now, these IoT devices, I thought it was only that for this Microsoft Defender for IoT. But when I researched more about it, I found it's actually a broader thing. That it's only not used for search. It's also used for, it's a system they also use for industrial control systems. Meaning systems which are being used in many of the, let's say, the oil companies, those systems which they use for managing the oil, the electric plants, all those different plants for companies, water plants, all those, all fall under industrial control systems. So that also put me back, like that companies that people are actually looking to attack most of that, and they're finding vulnerabilities in that, and that is really dangerous, because if you've read this, they can literally decide to blow up security those electric plants, and then you find that there's no power. They decide to switch off the power in the whole country. That is serious. So yeah, it's definitely something we should pay attention to. And if you notice, even the CVSS scores range from 8.8 to 7.2. So that's really key. We need to ensure that we take these vulnerabilities very seriously.
Yes, and to our listeners, CV is a common vulnerabilities and exposures.
Yes, I didn't forget to say that.
Angela, this is the IoT thing is right in your space, isn't it?
Right in my okay.
Yeah.
Are you discussing anything related to IoT, cybersecurity and IoT devices in your course?
Anything? Pardon?
Are you discussing in your course? In your course? Yes. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, I can.
Are you talking about IoT and cybersecurity?
Yes, we are. Mostly with the way IoTs allow for massive information sharing. Mostly now we're talking about how people can secure their data, on how, you know, mostly if you buy these IoT devices, you start using them and you don't know if you're sharing the information that you're sharing, if you keep it safe. Most of these companies trading in these IoT devices, let me say the smartwatches, most of this data is sold mostly for decision making, like people living in smart cities would like to know where they can go to exercise, and all this mobile data sensing and is relayed to these companies, but you don't know how safe you are and how much you are being tracked. So that needs to also be explored. But with Apple, I know once you install something, they'll ask you, do you consent to be tracked? So you can either say no or yes, but that's something we should look into, in how much that data we're sharing about ourselves, our whereabouts, and how safe we are as we continue to use these IoT devices.
Oh, great. Thanks for that.
They always make a joke that S stands for security in IoT. but what they mean by that is most of the times when they're setting up IoT devices, they don't always consider security. They always consider functionality most of the time. So, yeah.
Sure, that's true.
On to Josephine. Josephine, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
And tell us about the Godfather Mobile Banking Trojan and how it is a malware as a service.
Okay, well, first of all, thanks for the education. I had never heard about the Godfather Trojan before today. So you thank you very much. Movie. Of course, I know what Godfather is, but in terms of a Trojan, I was like, okay, yeah, I wonder how that relates. But yeah, so I had to do some research and found out that it's basically a piece of malware, and it targets mostly Android devices, which are specifically trying to steal your financial information. It's been reported to target about 237 banking apps across 57 countries, and it's primarily in US and Europe. There's a company called Group IB, which is a creator of cybersecurity technologies, which reported that as of October 2022, 215 banks, 94 crypto wallet providers, 110 crypto exchange platforms had all been targeted by Godfather. It's really, really targeting banking, mostly targeting banking applications. So the malware as a service is basic. It means that cyber criminals can rent the Trojan's capabilities. So they're renting it as a service so that they can then use it to attack others. And they don't have to develop their own malware. So they just rent the service that is provided under the Godfather. It also allows, it mostly targets banking apps, as I'd said. And to avoid detection, its developers keep creating unique samples of the malware. So it's difficult for antivirus programs to recognize it because it keeps changing. And then it can record screens and keystrokes, and it can also intercept two-factor authentication calls and texts, and it can also initiate unauthorized bank transfers. So because it's so easily distributed and it's targeted across different regions, it's really very much a global threat. So I think its main success is that it's able to adapt very quickly and evolve. But there's reports that suggest that it can shut down if the system language of the infected device is Russian, Azerbaijan, Armenian, whatever. So it basically means it avoids, if it senses that is a machine of the infected machine has any of those languages, it doesn't attack. So it looks like it's being specific to some countries within Europe and the US. I mean, essentially, that it is. It's just continues. The developers continue to develop it, to change it, and it's so easy for criminals because they don't have to develop their own malware. They just hire it as a service. So that's mm-hmm. what I learned about the Trojan, about the Godfather Trojan.
Okay. I think you have touched a little bit about how this Trojan is unique. But what mode of attacking the victim are they using?
So there are many ways it can attack. So mostly it's through fake applications. So it masquerades as legitimate applications, and it will trick you into downloading it. So you'll download it, and then before you know it, that is it. Also, once you install it, it requests access to the accessibility service. Remember, we talked about how a lot of the smart malware tries to get access to the ability to give itself to change up access application permissions. So it gives itself the right to operate highest level of privileges. It also creates fake login screens. So you basically have this app which looks like your banking app. So there's a fake login screen. Of course, when you enter that fake login screen, then you captures all your everything that you use on that screen. And it also can then steal data like your SMS messages, your device details, phone numbers, and all that, and then even control your device screen. It can also initiate mobile transactions using USSD calls. So essentially, it's very smart. But of course, it's the main way it gets to you is if you actually download it. However you do it, through an app or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That kind of reminds me of a movie called The Beekeeper. A lady was was infected by, they actually created an RCE, remote code execution, where they actually took over the lady's machine. They even set up the fake login, then they captured her information. So,
yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah,
interesting in a good or bad way. I'm not sure yet, but
it's good to know that how these things work, so you can work to avoid it.
Yeah, So how can one protect themselves of the attack?
Okay. Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that we know that we should do, but which obviously we can do to protect ourselves. A lot of times we don't do it, especially on mobiles, right? You have to download apps from official stores. So just don't download an app from anywhere. So obviously we've got our, in this case, because it's targeting Android devices, you should always try and upload only from, say, Google Play Store. At least you know, to a great extent that those apps are relatively secure. And obviously Apple App Store as well. But also when you then download an app, even if it's from Google Store, make sure that you're not giving that app too many permissions. I think sometimes we just install, don't look at the permissions before you install. But if they're asking for a lot of things like, I want access to your screen, to your, you know, I tend to, most apps, I say, you know, like if I download, say Glovo, the Glovo app, and it's saying, I want access to your camera, or I want access to your location. I say only when I'm using the app.
For context, could you give our audience the type of application Glovo is?
Glovo is that food, the delivery app, where you order food or food delivery app, or you can order groceries or whatever. Then, of course, regular updates to the OS. Definitely, that's an obvious one. I don't think a lot of people see the update request coming up and they ignore, because obviously the updates can be heavy, but it's so important to have the device operating system up to date, because at least it has the latest security updates, and often these updates can they patch vulnerabilities that malware tend to want to exploit. Then, of course, having some kind of security software on your mobile, I think these can help with infections, but also being cautious about links and attachments. We tend to get now links on emails. We tend to get links on even on SMSs. So those links, no, don't click them. Even if you see it as if it's a message coming from your bank, don't just click on the links that come through. Then of course the smart banking habits which you should have, the two-factor authentication. Make sure your online banking has that. It uses SMS notification. Check your login screens, make sure they look consistent. I have personally never used public Wi-Fi on my phone if I'm doing banking. If I do, then if I have to use the public Wi-Fi, I always have my VPN on installed. And then the other thing is always, I at least my bank always sends me messages that you should always check your bank account. Yeah, you know, you don't want to stay for like a month without checking. Always check your bank account so that if there's funny things going on, you can see it and you can report it quickly to the bank and stop any, if there's anything that's unauthorized, you can hopefully stop it as soon as it happens, not much, much later. So those are the things that I think steps that you can follow to at least stop some of these things from happening to you, but also to safeguard your financial information.
Yeah, I feel that is really key when it comes to, they always talk about, let me give our audience a bit of context on Glovo. Now for Glovo, it's a food delivery app. So when it comes to food delivery, we are thinking about situations where it will require your location, it will require your contact, maybe, but really, that one there, we are still debating on that one.
It's
But
still, how
key
else will
one
they deliver?
Is there, you just call them. Yes, copy the number, call. But yeah, there's that aspect of, yeah, perhaps you require the call, the phone number, I mean, calls. But if they're not wanting to, even, I'm not even sure, SMS, is it required? But no. So now, if it is now asking you for images, access to your gallery, that's when you'd be like, okay, there's something not right here. Because for a food delivery application, you require maybe contact, I mean, being able to contact them and location. Those are the key things. If it is beyond that, then you are starting to doubt your application. So we need to ensure that those key things are maintained and are properly, managed, so that we are able to get what we are supposed to get. So, other than that, the other thing about how we can protect ourselves is awareness. Yeah, tuning into the cyberweek and listening to us. So, yeah, to get to know about the different attacks which are actually ongoing. So it's key for us to, have this conversation so that you get to know some of these things. Now, the other aspect, we're now going to talk to Angela about the aspect of the attacks. There's a hack from the Ministry of Defense.
I think that's me now asking, right?
Yeah. I thought I would take over, but
that's okay if you want to. It's fine.
Go ahead. It's okay. I was just playing around. It's okay.
Okay. No worries. So, Angela, what's hack of the UK Ministry of Defense all about?
Okay. So, that, I think it's a popular question. The hack is about an intrusion in the human resource system used by the Ministry of Defense. It was confirmed by the Secretary of Defense, Grant Shapps, on May 7th in his statement to the House of Commons. Immediately that they had learned of this intrusion, the Ministry of Defense isolated the system to prevent the intrusion from spreading and they stopped processing payments. The attack was targeted at an external system managed by a contractor that was completely separate from the Ministry of Defense's core network and had no connection to the main HR system, he said in his statement.
Okay, so the system only affected the attack only affected that system that's been run by a third party, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
According
and
to the theories.
Okay. And who would you say are the victims of the attack? I mean,
Yes. So the victims of attacks are veterans that had worked under the Ministry of Defense, and part of the information that was leaked are navies and different personnel that had worked with the Ministry of Defense. It's estimated that 270,000 payment records were exposed, including banking details of these civil servants. And in a few cases, it included addresses and their names.
Wow, that's a lot of personal data there and financial data, which is a real risk. Have there been any updates? Given it said it happened on Tuesday, 7th May.
Yes. The investigation. An investigation has been launched, and they're yet to reveal how the intrusion happened, but the Secretary of Defense states that it's noted that the attack was due to possible failings on the contractor's side and not the Ministry of Defense. So many news outlets, credible news outlets like the BBC and Reuters are reporting that the attack could have been from China. China has completely denied the allegations, but in a statement issued by the Secretary of Defense, Grant Sharp says that it's underlined that the malicious actor was behind this attack, and that at this stage of investigations, there is foreign state involvement as they try to get answers.
Yeah, it's easy for the Ministry of Defense to say that it had nothing to do with their systems.
Yes.
Unfortunately, when you have a third party connected to you, it's your responsibility, especially when the data that they are dealing with is your data. It's still your responsibility to ensure that you've vetted that company, that their systems, security systems are also watertight. So very difficult, very easy for them to say it was not their responsibility, but I think ultimately it was. I don't know what you guys think.
That's true, because some outlets are also reporting that sensible information that included past purchases of firearms were leaked, but that the Ministry of Defense is not coming out to admit that. They've only admitted that personal data has been leaked and it wasn't their fault. But really, if you give a contractor access to your system, it's up to you to ensure that it's secure and to ensure cyber resilience for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Dale, what do you think?
I think I agree with you all. I've become a politician. Yes, second, yes, I agree.
Everyone is right.
Everyone is right, yes. Yeah, so yeah, I agree that definitely there's a lot of things which need to be addressed.
Blame shifting.
And it's not new that there are many state actors, but also because some places are also known for such situations and countries. We know of nation state actors, and it is something new, and their need to know information about different organizations is also not new. And some countries, I don't want to mention names, but some countries are known for that. And that's why you'll find that they are still moving ahead, and they're able to, because they'll get to know a particular country's infrastructure. And as even demonstrated in most of the attacks, you find that the target of ICSs, industrial control systems, which are usually managed organizations, and doesn't usually start from that. It starts from stealing credentials of organizations and information, and they all boil down to them denying. Obviously, and be like, yes, I did it, but yeah, we know you.
Someone has got to take accountability.
Yeah. So, anyways, yeah.
Exactly.
So, the final bit.
Yeah.
But you are proceeding. Oh, we are finished.
Okay, now. So the last question I thought you were going to ask. So what are your articles, any articles or resources that you want to recommend to our viewers there?
So the one I'm recommending, I'm actually just putting it in right now. It's the RSA conference. The RSA conference is the conference which many know about, and and the different booths currently available. But by the time we release this episode, it would be done because it's from 6th to the 9th of May. The conference basically brings on different cybersecurity professionals from different parts of the world. I was reading an article today that took me about over 40,000 people from different countries in one place. And it's a nice thing, and maybe actually next year you also see me there being a member.
Great, that's good. That's very good. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
And Angela, anything that you want to recommend to our viewers?
Okay, I'll recommend the Cybersecurity Hub. It's available on all social media platforms that writes articles about cybersecurity across the world. And also to recommend our podcast, the Cyber Weekly, that they should share widely and spread the word.
Yeah, thank you. In my research, I came across the Kaspersky blog. I wanted to find out more about how you can protect yourself against Trojans. Especially on a mobile phone. So that's a very nice blog. I've shared it in the show notes, but there are also other blogs which are interested. But I'm also interested in how the cyber landscape in Africa is, how we're doing, and any challenges that there is in Africa. So there's an article that I've shared, Cybersecurity Threatscape of African Countries, which is there as a reference. So I like to read about Africa. Nothing stood out for me specifically, but those are the two that I would recommend. So, and of course,
thank you, Justin.
Our podcast, I think we share topical subjects. We have very good guests like Angela today. And I think we are quite relevant in the security area. And we try to mix it up a little bit with the book reviews. So please subscribe and like our podcast. It is available on almost any platform that you listen to on your podcast. It's also on YouTube. So please like and subscribe to it.
And share widely.
And share widely. Yeah, I think that's all I had. I don't know whether, Dara, you want to close properly, but I think I've closed.
Yes.
I'm giving you my stamp of approval.
Great. It's a wrap.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a wrap.